from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Coming up at 10, Gresh and Foye at Patriots training camp on a Friday. My guy Foye can probably weigh in on a discussion that we had earlier with the Olympics getting underway today and breakdancing. I believe he had a whole breakdancing crew, if I remember correctly, from listening to his radio programs over the years.
Wow.
So I'm sure he can weigh in on the origins of breakdancing in the Bronx in New York. And whether or not the U.S. has a good chance of getting gold.
Right.
And can't wait. Courtney can't wait. I can't wait. Yep.
And I have to say, if Jaylen Brown is happy, I'm happy.
Uh-huh.
However, I find it to be comical. The very people outraged about the discussion about Jaylen and Jason.
They think you're trying to stir up trouble.
You
and the rest of the media.
Oh, these
are
poor $70 million superstars.
You're trying to create drama that doesn't exist, people say.
Greg, how many times did you... and others say, Curtis, fake take Laird, Bill and Tom are fine. The house is not an issue. This is all a media creation by Seth Wickersham and you guys on the radio that Tom and Bill actually love each other.
Yeah.
That was an issue. Pretty clear. They've resolved it. Good. Mm-hmm. God bless them. But Tom Brady and Bill Belichick were oil and water at the end. We all said it. People, the fans were like, defend the wall. Yeah, idiot media people stirring the pot. Nope, we were right. Just like Theo and Lucchino. Just like Tyler Seguin and all of his teammates. Whatever, for different reasons, there have been issues within clubhouses, and fans rightfully don't want to buy into it. I would just say Jaylen Brown cares more about issues than basketball, and I respect the hell out of him for it. He believes he has been left off the team because of stances Jaylen has taken against what he feels to be improper behavior by companies.
Correct.
Jason Tatum is one of the most highly paid, highly recognizable people for that company, and he is currently with the team in Paris at the Olympics.
Yeah, but
in the article that we're talking about, he talks about how he should have been more outspoken in support of his teammate when he was in trade rumors, which to me, Jaylen cares far less about than he does for the moral stances he's taken against Nike.
So you think Jaylen Brown thinks Jason Tatum should leave millions and millions of dollars on the table to not do a deal with Nike?
No, he judges his silence. I guarantee it.
There is no chance in hell. Like, Jaylen Brown understands money talks. So if you're Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown... And
does Jaylen have an issue with LeBron James?
Yeah.
Why?
Because of certain issues that they disagree on.
Like what?
Like Nike.
Right. So why would he have an issue with LeBron James and not Jason Tatum?
Because Jason Tatum and him are friends. I would have an issue with somebody that I don't know.
But
that
it's
I'm
the
not
same issue.
Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
If you're friends with somebody, that issue has come out since what he said on social media, correct?
The issue that has come out since what was said?
So what Jason Tatum, what Jaylen Brown said about Nike was how long ago?
A month? I don't know.
More than that, because it was with Kyrie Irving. So that was
a bit
ago.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Nike tweet.
No. So
I mean, do you think
to play this further, do you think Jaylen Brown wants Jason Tatum to make a statement about it being left off the U.S. Olympic team as they head into the Olympics?
I think when Jason Tatum talked about Derek White and the championship DNA in the aftermath of Jaylen Brown being left off the team, Jaylen was irked by that. I guarantee. I mean, it would be very strange not to be.
You're adding a third second, and he Celtic, and he said that, you know, they're adding more championship DNA to the roster. And I'm like, well, what about Jaylen Brown? Have you talked to him? Took a deep breath, and he just said, no.
If you're friends with someone, you talk to them.
Do you think Jaylen Brown has ever been misquoted by a media member or ever been talked about by a media member? I believe on this show, Jermaine Wiggins said that he saw Jaylen Brown at a hookah bar and that Jaylen Brown wanted to get out of here. And then he later told Evan Washburn that that was not the case. Mm-hmm. So
you're saying Mark Spears is making that up?
Maybe.
Well, that's the only way that you can defend this. But that's the only way you can defend this opinion is if that report is inaccurate.
I think that if you're Jaylen Brown, you don't trust everything that the media says about one of your teammates because you've been done dirty by the media before.
I think
national media right now is trying to do everything in their power to split these two apart. And the fact that we as a local media entity are buying into it and furthering the conversation is dumb.
I think we actually had the audio shime, didn't we, where Jason Tatum said, no, we don't have to. I mean, that was
completely different.
Mark Spears covered Jaylen and Jason for the Boston Globe for years.
I don't care. Like, why are we? Okay.
Because that's the person whose report we just heard.
That's great. Ben Bolin covered the Patriots for years, came on this show and said a very good source told him things about Mac Jones,
right,
and it ended up being a lie.
There's a reason Ben Bolin has disappeared and never made anything nationally in any capacity, whereas Mark Spears has been at ESPN, Yahoo, the Globe, and now back at ESPN.
To be fair, COVID is back.
Right.
That's why Ben Mullen is not around.
Boy, that's what I talk about, a notch in my belt. That's a good one.
No, I just don't know why we have to go back in history to prove something that's going on right now
that
or not
just
going
said.
On.
That report was less than a month ago.
I know,
Jaylen
and you
Brown,
went back to say he covered the Celtics. He covered Jaylen and Jason.
Because you said the report may be inaccurate.
It could be.
And I'm telling you that, first of all, they would have corrected the report if it was inaccurate. Both parties would be well served to be seen as being friends at this juncture. In Mark Spears saying he was asked if he spoke to Jaylen Brown after finding out he was not on the roster, and he goes, no.
No, he didn't say it that way, actually. He did like a big dramatic, no. And then when you listen to the actual sound of Jason Tatum being asked, it doesn't sound anything like that, in my opinion.
I think they found a way to get along as coworkers.
I think that they obviously did. They won a championship together.
Yeah.
Of course.
And so I don't think that Jaylen Brown, listen, I believe when Jason Tatum looked happy for Jaylen Brown when he was the MVP.
Yes.
Am I right about that?
Correct.
I think I'm assuming that Jaylen Brown is happy that Jason Tatum is on Team USA and is on the cover of the 70th anniversary edition of Sports Illustrated. I don't know. But I understand that there may be some lingering things that are going on, I guess. Hence why Jason Tatum feels the need to say he missed an opportunity by not speaking up for
Jaylen Brown. If you're close with Jaylen Brown and you share a team that is as important, if not more important, than the Olympic team, you just won a championship. The biggest story about the team relates to your teammate being left off of it.
And one of your biggest sponsors.
Right. And if at no point you say something as benign as, man, we all saw what Jaylen just did, helping carry us to a championship. I wish you were on this team, too. That is so innocuous. Nike would not punish him.
Mm.
It is entirely, it actually benefits the Nike brand because it shows a guy who's got this sneaker that's coming out is willing to bridge mend fences and talk about a teammate in that way. The fact that he has been not only nothing, there's been not a word about those two. Like, it would strike me as so strange.
I just don't know what how you choose what's Bible and what's not, because there are certain things where players will say something and then you say, well, I don't believe anything that a player says. What they say to the media is not accurate. And then if Jason Tatum's being asked if he talked to Jaylen Brown and he just says no, why you believe that?
If we had a show event and the three of us went and Wiggy didn't come for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we were invited and were there and we were asked about it. It would be so weird for us to just say, I don't know. Like, of course we'd want Wiggy there. Or if Greg or Courtney wasn't coming. Like, to me, it's so easy, and the way in which people get so enraged by just the facts. Jason Tatum is on the team. He is sponsored by Nike. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown is not on the team. He blames Nike.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Tatum's asked about Jaylen Brown's absence. He says, no, I haven't spoken to him.
He's that not asked about the absence. He said, did you talk to him? He said, no.
That reminds me, Scheib and I booked our celebratory meal at Mew.
Ooh.
For his weight loss.
Sure when did, baby.
August 6th.
Just you two or?
August 7th.
I mean, you're welcome to come if you would like to go Dutch. I mean, I don't know. This is me.
Ooh, you still owe me a wedding present.
Oh, I could buy you a steak and that would be your wedding present?
Oh.
Okay, you can join.
Well, I mean,
should we have
Greg
everybody?
Did get a present at your wedding.
He did.
It was short-lived.
Yes, I did.
Your presence was presence
yeah.
enough.
It was like, it was very similar to the Numbnuts Invitational where I perfected the perfect bump and run.
Oh.
I did the same thing at Courtney's wedding.
Well done, sir.
Do you want these guys to come?
Yeah, you know, Greg, since you have to pay, you get the final decision. I'd be happy to have everybody there if anybody wants to come, but it's not my checkbook that comes out at the end of the night.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're celebrating Scheib
and his
massive weight loss.
I think you should probably do it soon if you're going to celebrate the weight. No.
Curtis?
I would say, though, the funniest part about the fan base when it comes to these topics, when we would do, for 5 years, we'd bring up Tom and Bill. Yeah. What would happen? The lines would light immediately. People love the drama. It is our Us magazine. Mm. It is the male soap opera. Not all women like it, too. But it is, we all have been in situations with colleagues or teammates, and you can the on the field stuff is so unrelatable because they're all so talented in ways that we could never even envision it. But we've all had a coworker we don't like.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right here.
Yeah,
I think that's why it is so fascinating.
I think it's a healthy rivalry. Yeah. I don't think it's a bitter rivalry.
I didn't say it was bitter at all.
Yeah,
I just said that it would stand to reason that there would be some friction given what Jaylen Brown blames for his absence on a team he wanted to be on.
All right. Let's get to Courtney and to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Time Out Market Boston. I can't believe it's already 9:14 a.m.
Show is flying by.
Flies by.
No Wiggy this morning.
Very
but
sad.
he'll be back with us on Monday.
Yes.
Craig.
Day two of Patriots training camp saw no Devon Godchow. He missed the beginning of practice. He did show up only to be on the sideline.
Craig.
No reports on whether or not this is contract related.
I would assume it is.
Yes. In this economy,
I would assume it is.
The Red Sox are back in action tonight, welcoming the Yankees to town. First pitch at 7:10 with Brian Baio getting the start. You can hang out with Rich Keefe at 6:10 for the MassMutual pregame show. Then Joe Castiglione and Sean McDonough have the call on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network right here on EEI and as always on the Odyssey app. Olympics are here, 1:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll see the opening ceremony. Ahead of the opening ceremony, the U.S. women's soccer team dominated Zambia. 3-0 in group play in Nice. Next up is fourth-ranked Germany on Sunday. And experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Time Out Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Time Out Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right, it is a gorgeous day today in Boston. Right now, it is 71 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 84. And we have a Woo Sox report, which I hope you guys are all ready for. The Woo Sox report is brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Massachusetts chapter. I'm going to say that one more time. The WEEI Woo Sox report, 3-2-1, is brought to you by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Massachusetts chapter. Big news.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Woo girl.
Okay.
Courtney's right. A Woo girl, which is huge. Uh-huh. Keith Law came out with his top 60 prospect list in the New York Times, the Athletic part of the New York Times. The Red Sox have several, studs that are currently in that list. You have Marcelo Mayer. You alluded to this. You're a prospect guy.
I know. He's number two.
Number two.
We also, I believe, have the number four prospect on that list. Am I correct about that?
Number 19 overall, oh. Kyle Teal.
Okay.
And
that's the catcher, correct?
Kyle Teal. Shime is Kyle. Yes, he is
yes,
a catcher.
He is.
Thank yep. you.
Greg
I love
is
Kyle
a
Teal.
Prospect guy.
Mr. Baseball over here.
And you call me a nerd.
I want to be on. Get me on the Bradfo podcast staff.
Ooh, baseball yeah. isn't boring.
Yeah. And I think you'll be seeing Kyle Teal and Marcelo Mayer in Worcester very soon. So keep your eye on those two
excellent.
Studs.
Okay.
Go to Worcester. You're going to see the Red Sox of tomorrow today.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
And Foyer coming up in a little over half an hour at 10 from Patriots training camp. And Shime, sounds like Jerod Mayo better deploy the virtual wet ball for Drake May based
yeah.
on some reports.
Yeah, the rainy day, that was one thing, Shime, you got to be careful of. Very slippery with the ball, had a couple fumbles at practice in the rain, was
oh,
a little messy.
Boy, not pro ready yet.
It happens.
Your guy's not pro ready yet.
He's fine. He's plenty pro ready.
Can't hold
me.
On to that football.
Well, Greg, you should love a guy with small hands.
I do.
Doesn't have small hands. Don't worry.
Absolutely do. So
this is going to be so much fun because it's going to be the inverse of what it's been recently, where Greg's been supporting the team, trying to get Mac to be successful. The text, the passive aggressive, nice throw. Shime waiting to come in and just pounce with a Mac interception.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be shot. We need week one Drake May. I don't care about the future of the team. I care about us. We want Drake May week one, and
jeez.
I want Shime and Greg going back at it in the group text.
I don't know. I just feel like you wait a little bit. You brought up Dak Prescott earlier, Shime, like a badge of honor. But, I mean, didn't he get his chance because Tony Romo was hurt? It wasn't like they decided to go with him over Romo.
But in no way was he hurt by it. Like, it helped his career.
Yeah.
He was a fourth-round pick out of, I think, what was it?
Ole Miss?
Mississippi State, I think.
Mississippi State.
And, you know, a guy that was very, you know, not nearly as talented coming out. And he's, you know, playoffs have been a different story, but regular season numbers, Dak Prescott are absurd.
The last, I think it's like 50 games, he has better numbers than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. Well, last year Mahomes' regular season wasn't very good, but right. I feel like we should compare everybody to everybody but Mahomes. Because Mahomes is so much better than everybody. Mahomes' competition is no longer in the NFL.
Just for example, I mean, last season, Dak led the league in completions and touchdown passes. Like, the guy is excellent.
And I feel like Mahomes would if he had CeeDee Lamb.
Fair. That's a fair argument. I'm just saying in general, like, Dak Prescott has been elite level over the last couple of years outside of the playoffs.
That's
and
true.
Say that Drake's not unbelievable when he starts and he's, you know, getting his footing. But, like, how much of a fall-off is that from Jacoby Brissett starting?
It's not much. That's
exactly.
A good point.
So, you know, I don't think Jacoby Brissett starting is going to get us a bunch more wins.
Yeah. Yeah, but you don't really care if Jacoby Brissett goes out there and gets hurt. Like, you care if Drake May, if your franchise, your future franchise goes out there and gets his head knocked off, then you care.
But I agree. But if we're using the, it's Courtney, well done. The point is the same. If Jacoby's going to get hurt, if the line stinks, Jacoby Brissett will likely get hurt like Tony Romo did anyway, and you'll see Drake May. And secondly, a struggling Drake May at least is an upside where you're going to get those mistakes. You're going to have the growing pains. People are going to, he's going to learn from them. Whereas Jacoby Brissett will likely make many of those similar mistakes, nothing personal, and you're not going to be gaining anything in the long run other than Drake May seeing what not to do.
Well, Gresh and Foyer have it covered for you today, and you can talk about this upcoming Patriots season all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We have to get to what are we doing?
Yes.
But you have, look,
I just
like
have something to say. I would like to wish a very happy birthday to Chris in the truck. I've been alerted that it's Chris in the truck's birthday.
Oh, okay.
He's been to all of our road shows. He's a great supporter, great listener of this, great friend of this program.
Mm-hmm.
So happy birthday to Chris in the truck.
Well, a lot of birthdays this weekend.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad tomorrow.
Tomorrow's your dad.
Yeah.
Sunday is DMs. You were not asked to, but created an absolute disaster for me. So thanks for that.
I'm helping.
You're not.
Oh, my God. You aren't. This is... Courtney, you are on thin ice, my friend, with these texts back and forth with DMs.
Who
about
asked
gift
you
ideas.
To do that?
I was just, we were talking about it on the show. I said, if you need any, you know, a little birdie to be in Greg's ear, let me know what you want.
This is such a bad
idea. In this economy?
Did I ever say, please reach out to my girlfriend and ask her what she wants for her birthday? And the response is very expensive things. Like,
I think.
Like, who asked you to do that?
I think every male needs a woman to help them when picking out a nice little gift.
No, like, no, I was not, didn't need
the gift was dinner, I think.
The gift was going to be dinner, but somebody inserted themselves without permission into my life.
Mm-hmm. Well,
not what anybody wanted.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
The best was, can I say what was?
Yeah, you can say it's fine.
So the best was a tote bag or a small piece of jewelry. The smaller the jewelry.
A simple piece of
I was going to say smaller the jewelry, the more expensive it likely is.
Did she say simple?
Simple. So okay. I have been putting
so
links.
So Yermin. I can get Yermin or something.
100%. Oh, Yermin. Okay. Very nice.
Right. I like Yermin.
I wear
Yermin.
You don't say David.
I have been putting a group of links together to send to you.
Oh, my God.
All different price points.
Don't need it.
All different
Don't
price points.
It. Don't need it.
Okay.
Don't need it.
Oh, my God. That is...
Yeah.
I live to serve.
I appreciate it.
A simple... What is that? By the way, just let's do this inside the warped female brain.
Yeah, we can do that. It's not a simple piece of jewelry.
What does that mean?
Nobody's going to be happy with a simple piece of
jewelry.
Yes,
they will. A simple piece of jewelry means it's...
Like a locket?
No, it's like something you wear every day. You don't take off. So like a little
like
gold...
Like a ring?
Well, yes. Or like a little gold chain or like very dainty. Simple.
Dainty, but what's the price point of a dainty piece? Because that could go anywhere.
It could go, yeah.
So that's the kind of conundrum that you've placed Greg in.
But there are plenty of...
Because if he goes on the low end of a dainty, then she's like, that's all I'm worth to you.
No, there is plenty of dainty, simple jewelry that is at a very affordable price point for Greg Hill.
Greg, do you have a guy at K?
I don't generally go to the... No disrespect, but I don't go to the malls for jewelry.
Oh, really? Just for Orange Julius.
I don't.
I love, though, if you go at the right time, those free Sarku chicken teriyaki bites.
Ooh, yeah, very good.
Absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, I mean, I don't... It's over, so it doesn't matter, but by inserting yourself...
Mm-hmm. You're adding pressure.
You have now I have no choice but to get that.
Right. Like, if there I
had,
no
you
misunderstanding.
Had no choice before.
Huh?
You had no choice before.
No, you planted some ridiculous expectation. So now I have to get, most likely, I have to get the tote bag and a simple piece of jewelry.
Both?
Inside the tote bag.
What do you think?
No, I think just one.
Courtney, what do you think? You stuck yourself in the middle of it. Now I have to get both.
No, I think you could just get one.
You can't just get a tote. Does it have to be like a Louis tote bag? Like it can
Ooh,
I?
Everyday tote safari green, $100.
Yeah,
I've
she said
this.
That her long champ.
Oh, there's
she's
a bag from
college.
Marc Jacobs that just says the tote bag. That's $200.
Yeah. I think you could get her a nice little, you know, something, something.
This has been a, Courtney, you do a great job. This was a swing and a miss.
And all the, I mean, all swing and a miss. I mean, everyone's saying I'm overstepping. Doesn't Greg and Santo text quite frequently?
Well, yes, we do. But I don't
talk
say,
about what
I don't say
to
you
get
have
you.
To. I don't go, hey, what do you want for your birthday, Santo? Right. And then he, you know, he tells me, and then you're in, then you're on the hook for it.
I would love to next birthday, please.
Okay,
I need all the help I can get.
Santo is an elite texter, best texter. I love that guy.
All right, we have to get to this.
And now,
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? I mean, it's the dumbest argument I've ever heard. What are we doing?
LB, what are you doing?
On WEEI.
What are we doing?
Great point on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Perhaps DMs would like a limited edition Numbnuts Invitational bucket hat.
We can throw in a pen from WEEI.
Those are nice.
Those babies are very valuable.
And you know what? With that hat on, you'll look even better.
She might love that. All right. From time to time on this show, Curtis asks a question about the point that we have reached as a society. And what are we doing, Curtis?
So this is an awesome story. And it is true that humans and gorillas share 98% of the DNA. We are very similar.
Right.
And there are people that have been frequenting zoos across the country, but specifically our greatest zoo, the San Diego Zoo.
Yep.
And they watch these gorillas and they, you know, take selfies or whatever. Well, there has been a new, maybe not new, but this big desire for zoo guests to show the gorillas videos on their iPhones.
Okay. So while they're at the gorilla enclosure.
Correct.
They are showing them videos on their phone, and the gorillas, I assume, are enjoying the videos.
Right.
They are chuckling, as gorillas do.
The gorillas have been really enjoying it, so the more and more people are trying to get close to the gorilla, and they're showing the gorilla a video, and the gorilla stands around, and then everybody wins. Well, unfortunately, gorillas are becoming addicted
to social media?
To those videos.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
Ah.
And I have to say, there has to be something wiring in our brain. I try not to do screen time with James. We watched one episode of Trash Truck, and it's all he talks about days later.
Yeah.
Like, he's seen a million
things. It's
addictive
or whatever.
There's got to be some component to it.
So gorillas are becoming addicted to watching social media.
Well, it's
videos.
Altering their behavior. They're spending too much time with these people using their screens, the screen time.
Right.
And they say
you mean like humans?
Right. And
like
so the zoo's having to admonish visitors who are showing videos to these gorillas because the gorillas are being placed in these situations where they're becoming addicted to it.
What's the harm, though? The gorillas are probably enjoying it.
Well, I have no idea what the heart.
They want them to be doing gorilla things, not doing human social media things.
Right,
is what they want.
That's the issue. So, if anybody thinks that screen time is okay, look at the gorillas.
Why don't they just ban it? Like, why don't they just say, "Is that what they're doing?"
I think they are. They're strongly discouraging guests that walk up to the gorillas with a video on their phone.
All right, Curtis. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I thought for sure, what are we doing was going to be the constant complaining about the pickleball courts which has reached a new level thanks to Channel 7, which we talked about earlier this morning. But they added, I guess they refurbished a pickleball court in Braintree, or pickleball courts in Braintree, and the same in Melrose. And so this story aired yesterday with these people who live there talking about how devastating the pickleball noise is when it comes to living their lives.
I don't understand this. I don't understand this. It's people have become so victimized by the sound of a pickleball hitting a racket.
Do you have any of that audio, some of the people? I will just... So this is what's going on. These people went there. There's this massive uprising against pickleball courts, apparently here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And so these people went and got this news report, and they are, you can just go in any order with these people who are infuriated by what they have to deal with.
I can't enjoy sitting in my own home, even with the TV on loud, with the radio on my front porch loud, it just to block out the noise. It's just nonstop. It's like having a noisy neighbor that has a party every day, 7 days a week, 13 hours a day.
There is no way with your TV on loud, with the radio on loud, that you can still hear the popping of the ball.
It sounds very familiar to
this sounds like this guy who's been victimized down the Cape.
But you're telling me that somebody's having a party next door, and that's at the same noise level as people who are playing pickleball on a court outside?
I'm pretty sure this guy has been on the news before.
Huh?
I'm pretty sure this guy has been on the news before.
Go ahead. Go to the next one, if you could.
And what we find is their stories are very much the same. And it's always a wide swath of people. This is gunshots, little brother. Pickleball, it's impulsive noise. These folks are not too sensitive. They're responding to what's going on here.
Just give me his. I want the people who are there. I don't want an expert or whatever, Jackson. Give me the next person.
It is. It's traumatizing. It is. You can't sit outside. You can't open windows.
What?
We wear noise-canceling headphones. It's traumatizing.
Okay, when I say
it's traumatizing,
your generation is full of these absolute wusses. They're being overrun by a pickleball court.
Yeah.
They can't. It's traumatizing. Can we show what the definition of traumatizing is to this lady? There's no way with noise canceling. I walk without a headphone, with nothing in my ears, past this court where there are 8 pickleball courts within this 1-2 tennis court area.
Yeah.
Every day, I walk past it twice. You don't hear anything that is in any way out of the norm. The only thing I can think of is these towns are really quiet. Like in Boston, there's more ambient noise.
Yeah.
But that's no reason to feel like you're being traumatized.
It's traumatizing.
You can't open your windows.
It's
nuts. Nuts.
It's not traumatizing, no. Ma'am. I don't think. I mean,
it's traumatizing.
Haven't there always been tennis courts?
Of course.
The tennis noise is louder than the pickleball noise.
And the grunting from the players in tennis.
Right. It's also so, like, you wonder why we have a generation of people that get, you know, participation trophies, nobody can lose. Like, these are the parents that raised those kids.
Mm-hmm. We're not anti-pickleball. We want to have a level of respect for us and for our homes.
They're just playing pickleball, lady. They're not peeing on your lawn. Respect yourself. Have some self-respect. Don't allow yourself to be totally demoralized by a pickleball court. Oh, my God.
All right.
Traumatized.
Well, be careful when selecting where you're going to live.
Yeah.
Live near an airport or a factory or a highway as opposed to living near a pickleball court.
Every day around Castle Island, with noise-canceling headphones in, I hear planes landing.
Right.
It bleeds into my Soul Survivor song by Akon.
Do you think real estate agents now have to disclose that houses that they're selling are near pickleball courts?
I mean, I don't know. Can't people look outside and see when they're buying and see, like, I mean, there are basketball courts. Basketball courts are noisier mm-hmm. than a pickleball court, are they not?
We did a full 4 hours with people, lots of people playing pickleball at Fenway Park.
Right.
And we had no issue.
Were you traumatized?
No.
I still am.
No.
No. All right. We are going to head down to Gillette Stadium on day 3 of training camp and check in with Gresh and Foyer next. We are back on Monday. Wiggy will be back after a Flex Friday. And a reminder before we head to Gillette and check in with Gresh and Foyer that Monday night is the next Die Hard game at Fenway. So if you want to join me and join Curtis and watch the Red Hot Red Sox, very simple. Just prove that you are a diehard, whether you're a Sam Adams diehard and you got something that shows that photographic evidence wise, or you're a new Sun Cruiser diehard, or you're a Red Sox diehard. All you have to do is go to the contest page at WEEI.com, upload a pick. And we will hopefully pick you, and you can join me and Curtis and maybe the rest of the show on the Sam Adams deck in right field. And it is I'm calling it Monday night, 2 Sun Cruiser minimum game on Monday night. And then a week from today, heads up, GHS Live at the Tipsy Seagull
in Fall River as we get ready for the big charity event, which is happening down there all weekend. And that is called the Border Light Marina Poker Run. And we'll be there and we'll see if we can get Wiggy on a cigarette boat 1 week from today. And I hope you'll join us at the Tipsy Seagull. I'm told Pier 52 right there has incredible crab nachos, Shime. Should you be
that
interested?
That sounds dynamite. I might even take some home.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. Let's say good morning to Gresh and Foyer. Hello, fellas.
What's up? No Foyer today. How about that? We're a hop, skip, and a jump from his house. Guy takes a Friday off.
What is with him in the time off of late?
I don't know. Shime's his hero.
Yeah.
Hey, I have taken very little time off so far.
Hey, I have taken very much time off, Greg. Let me just remind you.
Taking less than Greg.
However, Greg, this is the perfect show. You and Coco and I think Curtis even more than Wiggy. Because Wiggy, like Foyer sometimes, you know, they have a proclivity to just sort of speak without thinking.
Yes.
Foyer yesterday tried to roll out a theory to us that when the World Cup comes to Gillette in 2026, he thinks he started at 25,000. He thinks he can rent his massive abode. If Echelon built homes in the suburbs, this would be it. He thinks he can get 40 grand for 2 weeks during the World Cup for his house.
40 grand for 2 weeks.
To rent his house. He thinks Saudi princes are going to knock on his door and be like, sir, I would like to buy your humble abode.
Well, I mean, people, they do that when it comes to the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl Miami, Super Bowl Arizona, whatever. People rent their homes out and they get, I don't know, about 40 grand.
I think that is probably correct.
The going rate?
In this economy?
I know. In this economy? Do you know how many bedrooms, Gresh? Like, is there a pool?
Oh, yeah. There's a pool. There's a massive patio area, multiple bedrooms, maybe a sex dungeon. I don't know about that. I can't comment
on
that.
Where is he going to go, though?
Okay, now this, Greg, great question.
It's going to cost him money to go somewhere else.
Businessman Greg Hill was all over this. I jumped all over him yesterday because this guy says, well, I'll just go get my family an Airbnb. And then he went a step further and said he would be these people's personal concierge. Oh. He would drive them to the stadium, and then he would cook them breakfast in the morning like it's the Hampton Inn.
I don't like that aspect of it one bit. But I do think he could make a pretty penny if he did it. And, I mean, they have friends. They have family. They can go stay with somebody else without having to buy an Airbnb.
Or you could just go to, like, Bermuda or, go somewhere else and take some of the 40 grand you're making and put $3,000 towards your vacation.
And then you get a vacation out of the deal. Hey, we're a couple days into the Mayo training camp era. What do you think what do you think so far?
It's like watching old people eat. It's just been
what a description.
There used to be like the land rush of fans that would try to get to the front because they wanted to get all the autographs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That area is now wider. It's not as deeper. There aren't as many people there. Like, it's just been, it's been kind of slow because they're not hitting right now. And there's a lot of, different types of drills going on. They got some different stretching methods and things like that that looks a little weird the first time you see them. Honestly, one of the most interesting things, and this would be like a Curtis like thing, who's kind of like coming in the back way. Like yesterday, Devon Godshaw all of a sudden showed up, but he walked across like Mr. Kraft's helipad and sort of slid in the back way. And people were like, oh, there he is here. So it's been slow developing. However,
but he's holding out, right? Is that a quiet holdout, like quiet quitting? I mean, is that like what's
going on? Yeah. Honestly, I think he saw what Junon did and was like, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
So now Elliot Wolf's got a tricky situation. Although, Greg, you would like to know, near the hot dog stand down there, they put up a hug booth. So anytime after practice you need a hug, you can go over there. There's a member of the organization, give you a big old huggy.
Wow. That would be a good job for me, actually.
Yeah, isn't there a thing, Isn't there a thing, Gresh, that in the new CBA where you, like, it used to be players would hold out and then they would sign and the organization would pay back whatever the fines were. Now that's no longer allowed, which is probably why they're there but doing nothing, right?
Well, and it's something that they're going to, like, that's like the next loophole they're going to have to close with the players, right? Because the owners have to be like, what in the weird's going on? The one interesting thing was RKK did kind of roll out late. He did talk with Judon, and then there was a conversation with who we think was Elliot Wolf. People down to boots on the ground, because we're in the blue level, you know, we're up in space. The people who were down there said, hey, he was kind of talking to Elliot Wolf right after talking to Judon, so it led people to kind of connect some dots. And I will say this, Judon has been in a great mood. Like, training camp, you go away from your family, he seems to be joyous to be here, this guy. So maybe that's an indicator of something to come. But, yeah, I mean, arguably the most interesting thing that happened was on day one when the helicopter dropped off Robert Kraft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Drake May, your initial impressions?
I mean, he's doing fine. You know, it's against air right now, and he's working with the twos, and that 2-0 line group, woof. Let me tell you, I know people don't like to complain about O-linemen. It's like a kicker. You don't realize they're bad until you see them, and then people are like, oh, my God, what in the world's going on? It could be there could be some depth issues there. Honestly, the prudent thing to do is to sit this kid at least for the first 4 to 5 weeks. Mm. Plus the early schedule, too. I don't want to put him through a game on the road to start, then come here, then short week against the Jets. That's too much for someone like that.
Why are we sitting a kid? If we're worried about him getting hurt, then what's the point of playing anybody?
Well, Shime, you know what? When you see the leaky offensive line, you'll be like, you know what? Wrap him up like a Fabergé egg for a couple of weeks, and let's see if we can find some different bodies.
Same thing happened to Joe Burrow, though. They ended up getting Ja'Marr Chase, and they upgraded the offensive line, and then they were Super Bowl contenders. Like, it's... I think it's better to see what he can do as early as possible than to worry about him getting hurt.
Well, all right. You want to ruin him, that's fine. And with a bunch of neophyte coaches, too. Like, they need 4 weeks to figure out what they're doing. I mean, just saying.
If they want to ruin a quarterback, Bill Belichick wrote a pretty good roadmap for that the last couple of years.
I mean, listen, if Matt Patricia walks on the field today, you guys will be the first to know, I'll tell you.
All right, Gresh. Enjoy it down there today. We will be listening. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Hey, I'll be at the Lucky Strike before the game tonight, 5 to 7. Come on by, say hi, get some Heineken Silver.
Oh, excellent. All right, go hang out with Gresh before Sox Yankees tonight, 7:10. First pitch on the Odyssey app and here at WEEI and on the Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network all over New England. All
happy birthday to DMs.
Yes, happy birthday. We got to go.
Anything new? Tote bags?
No, I'm staying out of it now.
Stay out of it, please. Thank you.
But I will send you my links.
Have a great weekend.
Well, yeah, everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage. On Monday, Wiggy will be back after a Flex Friday, and a reminder before we head to Gillette and check in with Gresham Foyer that Monday night is the next Die Hard game at Fenway. So if you want to join me and join Curtis and watch the Red Hot Red Sox, very simple. Just prove that you are a diehard, whether you're a Sam Adams diehard and you got something that shows that photographic evidence-wise, or you're a new Sun Cruiser diehard, or you're a Red Sox diehard. All you have to do is go to the contest page at weei.com, upload a pic, and we will hopefully pick you, and you can join me and Curtis and maybe the rest of the show on the Sam Adams deck in right field. And it is I'm calling it Monday night, 2 Sun Cruiser minimum game on Monday night. And then a week from today, heads up, GHS Live at the Tipsy Seagull in Fall River, as we get ready for the big charity event, which is happening down there all weekend. And that is called the Border Light Marina Poker Run. And we'll be there and we'll see if we can get Wiggy on a cigarette boat 1 week from today. And I hope you'll join us at the Tipsy Seagull. I'm told Pier 52 right there has incredible crab nachos shine. Should you be
interested? That sounds dynamite. I might even take some home.
That's what I was thinking. Yes. Let's say good morning to Gresh and Foyer. Hello, fellas.
What's up? No Foyer today. How about that? We're a hop, skip, and a jump from his house. Guy takes a Friday off.
What is with him and the time off of late?
I don't know. He Shimes his hero.
Yeah.
Hey, I have taken very little time off so far.
Hey, I have taken very much time off, Greg. Let me just remind you.
Taking less than Greg.
However, Greg, this is the perfect show. You and Coco and I think Curtis even more than Wiggy. Because Wiggy, like Foyer sometimes, you know, they have a proclivity to just sort of speak without thinking.
Yes.
Foyer yesterday tried to roll out a theory to us that when the World Cup comes to Gillette in 2026, he thinks he started at 25,000. He thinks he can rent his massive abode. If Echelon built homes in the suburbs, this would be it. He thinks he can get 40 grand for 2 weeks during the World Cup for his house.
40 grand for 2 weeks.
To rent his house. He thinks Saudi princes are going to knock on his door and be like, sir, I would like to buy your humble abode.
Well, I mean, people, they do that when it comes to the Super Bowl. So Super Bowl Miami, Super Bowl Arizona, whatever. People rent their homes out and they get, I don't know, about 40 grand. Though.
I think that is probably correct.
The going rate?
In this economy?
I know. In this economy? Do you know how many bedrooms, Gresh? Like, is there a pool?
Oh, yeah. There's a pool. There's a massive patio area, multiple bedrooms, maybe a sex dungeon. I don't know about that. I can't comment on that.
Where's he going to go, though?
Okay, now this, Greg, great question.
It's going to cost him money to go somewhere else.
Businessman Greg Hill was all over this. I jumped all over him yesterday because this guy says, well, I'll just go get my family an Airbnb. And then he went a step further and said he would be these people's personal concierge. Oh. He would drive them to the stadium. And then he would cook them breakfast in the morning like it's the Hampton Inn.
I don't like that aspect of it one bit. But I do think he could make a pretty penny if he did it. And I mean, they have friends. They have family. They can go stay with somebody else without having to buy an Airbnb.
Or you could just go to Bermuda or go somewhere else and take some of the 40 grand you're making and put $3,000 towards your vacation. Or something,
and then you get a vacation out of the deal. Hey, we're a couple days into the Mayo training camp era. What do you think? What do you think so far?
It's like watching old people eat. It's just been
what a description.
There used to be like the land rush of fans that would try to get to the front because they wanted to get all the autographs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that area is now wider. It's not as deeper. There aren't as many people there. Like, it's just been it's been kind of slow because they're not hitting right now. And there's a lot of, different types of drills going on. They got some different stretching methods and things like that that looks a little weird the first time you see them. Honestly, one of the most interesting things, and this would be like a Curtis-like thing, who's kind of like coming in the back way. Like yesterday, Devon Godshaw all of a sudden showed up, but he walked across like Mr. Kraft's helipad and sort of slid in the back way. Huh. People were like, oh, there he is here. So it's been slow developing. However,
but he's holding out, right? Is that a quiet holdout, like quiet quitting? I mean, is that like what's going on?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I think he saw what Judon did and was like, why can't I do that?
Yeah.
Now Elliot Wolf's got a tricky situation. Although, Greg, you would like to know, near the hot dog stand down there, they put up a hug booth. So anytime after practice you need a hug, you can go over there. There's a member of the organization, give me a big old huggy.
Wow. That would be a good job for me, actually.
Isn't there a thing, Gresh, that in the new CBA where you, like, it used to be players would hold out and then they would sign and the organization would pay back whatever the fines were? Now that's no longer allowed, which is probably why they're there but doing nothing, right?
Well, and it's something that they're going to, like, that's like the next loophole they're going to have to close with the players, right? Because the owners have to be like, what in the weird's going on? The one interesting thing was RKK did kind of roll out late. He did talk with Judon, and then there was a conversation with who we think was Elliot Wolf. People down to boots on the ground, because we're in the blue level, we're up in space. the people who were down there said, hey, he was kind of talking to Elliot Wolf right after talking to Judon. So it led people to kind of connect some dots. And I will say this, Judon has been in a great mood. Like training camp, you go away from your family. He seems to be joyous to be here, this guy. So maybe that's an indicator of something to come. But yeah, I mean, arguably the most interesting thing that happened was on day one when the helicopter dropped off Robert Kraft.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Drake May, your initial impressions?
I mean, he's doing fine. You know, it's against air right now, and he's working with the twos, and that 2-0 line group, Wolf. Let me tell you, I know people don't like to complain about O linemen. It's like a kicker. You don't realize they're bad until you see them, and then people are like, oh, my God, what in the world's going on? It could be there could be some depth issues there. Honestly, the prudent thing to do is to sit this kid at least for the first 4 to 5 weeks. Mm. Plus the early schedule, too. I don't want to put him through a game on the road to start, then come here, then short week against the Jets. That's too much for someone like that.
Why are we sitting a kid? If we're worried about him getting hurt, then what's the point of playing anybody?
Well, Shime, you know what? When you see the leaky offensive line, you'll be like, you know what? Wrap him up like a Fabergé egg for a couple of weeks, and let's see if we can find some different bodies.
The same thing happened to Joe Burrow, though. They ended up getting Ja'Marr Chase, and they upgraded the offensive line, and then they were Super Bowl contenders. Like, it's I think it's better to see what he can do as early as possible than to worry about him getting hurt.
Well, all right. You want to ruin him, that's fine. And with a bunch of neophyte coaches, too. Like, they need 4 weeks to figure out what they're doing. I mean, just saying.
If they want to ruin a quarterback, Bill Belichick wrote a pretty good roadmap for that the last couple of years.
I mean, listen, if Matt Patricia walks on the field today, you guys will be the first to know, I'll tell you.
All right, Gresh. Enjoy it down there today. We will be listening. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Hey, I'll be at the Lucky Strike before the game tonight, 5 to 7. Come on by, say hi, get some Heineken Silver.
Oh, excellent. All right, go hang out. Thank you. Gresh before Sox Yankees tonight, 7:10, first pitch on the Odyssey app and here at WEEI and on the Shaw Star Market Red Sox Radio Network all over New England. All
happy birthday to DMs.
Yes, happy birthday. We got to go.
Anything new? Tote bags?
No, I'm staying out of it now.
Stay out of it, please. Thank you.
But I will send you my links.
Have a great weekend.
Well, yeah, everybody have a great weekend. We will talk to you on Monday morning at 6. Thank you for your patronage.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.